All of Barstool Sports will be relocating to Manhattan. We want to take it to the world. But we're trying to take this site and crank it the f*** up.
They've conquered the internet.
Oh, what an idiot.
And now Barstool takes over the SiriusXM airwaves.
There they go! What's going to happen?
Real.
The Finer Things Club. The scumbag club.
You are cute. Are you married?
I'm married to the game.
Unfiltered.
Stop sending the dick pics.
Controversial.
You're a bummer.
I believe we're funnier, smarter, better, prettier than everybody else who is stealing our shtick on the internet.
By the common man. For the common man. It's Barstool Radio.
Yeah.
Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
Barstool Radio, day three. We are on Sirius Rush 93. You got to call in if you want to call. We'll take calls at some point. Number is 646-627-8450. I got to set the stage here. People probably think we're exaggerating. We never exaggerate. Everything's the truth. We never exaggerate. The studio we came in, we do this out of our office, and it's 20 degrees in here. Maybe 25. I am in a full, like, North Face winter jacket. You're all bundled up, Caleb. Ron, you're actually playing it kind of cool.
Because I've been in here, I've been acclimating my body for the last 2 hours, just trying to get down to lizard-level temperatures of cold-bloodedness.
It feels like I'm on a chairlift on a mountain. My nose is running. And the thing about this office, every room you go in is different. And if you don't have an immune system, that's how you get pneumonia. Enough about that. We start with shit we want to talk about. And I don't want to make this all about me and my personal struggles in life. But last night was tough for me because I'm trying to get to bed earlier. I got this new show. I got to be on. My brain, I have this huge-ass brain, and if it doesn't get the sleep and the rest it deserves, it's never at the top of its game. It should be getting 10 hours solid, and I know people are like, how do you get 10 hours? I will myself to 10 hours. So I went to bed. I turned off the lights at like 10:45, 11 o'clock last night. I live in an apartment, and you can buzz out front. I live in downtown Manhattan, right?
Nice.
A little brag there.
Nice. Very nice. I'm out in Brooklyn, you know.
Big brain place to live.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's a little touristy, whatever. A lot of foot traffic. There's like Asians taking pictures left and right everywhere I live. I have to look both ways when I get out of my apartment because there's that much traffic like before I open the door.
You might get bulldozed by a horde of Asians with their peace signs.
It's like Frogger. Like, you know, Frogger when you're going across the street. Anyways, going to sleep last night. And somebody just starts wailing on the buzzer. It's 11 p.m.
Is it just your buzzer or is it the whole building?
Just my buzzer. I'm in bed. Someone is wailing.
It's like when someone pulls the fire alarm at an away game and like tries to mess with the team. Like the Giants are in town.
They knew you had a big game today. They knew you had a big radio today.
I'm not going to lie. I was alone in the apartment. It's dark. I was a little scared. It's like, who the fuck is wailing on my buzzer right now? So I did my own thing. I just pretended I didn't hear it. But they're wailing on the buzzer. I'm like, I'm not getting up. I don't know what's going on. And I have a little camera where you can actually walk and buzz someone in. You can see who's out there. The wailing stops, and I'm like, okay.
Well, did you check the camera?
No, I didn't get out of bed.
Expecting anyone?
Not expecting anybody. I don't know. It's a stoolie who like maybe has my address. It's somebody. I don't like somebody. It's an alarming sound at 11 o'clock when you're not expecting somebody, and somebody is wailing on your buzzer. All right, goes away. Close the eyes. The brain is just starting to get into REM sleep. 11:30, maybe quarter 12, maybe even 12. Wail on the buzzer again. I'm trying to fucking sleep. Somebody is wailing on the buzzer. This time I get nervous. First time maybe it's just weird. Walk to the front. I don't see anybody. I'm like, okay. I'm getting ready to go back to bed. Two fire trucks come zooming to the building. So then the natural inclination is that the building is on fire and I've ignored the warning signals.
Right.
And I'm ignoring the wailing on the buzzer. So I sleep naked.
important.
Little
important.
Factoid. My nose is flat running because
I was wondering that. Yeah.
No, I do. So I throw on sweatpants. I have a sweatshirt on backwards, like my Bo Schembechler Michigan sweatshirt on backwards. And I throw on a winter jacket. I'm getting ready. Like the building is burning down. Click down on the elevator.
Whoa! Never go to the elevator when the building's burning down.
That's true. You could get stuck in the shaft.
I thought that, but sort of lazy, so it's like the stairs of the elevator. So I click the elevator.
That's why it's like a fire escape. You're never supposed to use the elevator.
Hey, he's lazy, man. Go ahead. Finish
right,
up,
I'm
Dave.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
And I was already so far behind the game because someone was wailing on the buzzer quite a while ago. The elevator door opens, and there's a fire guy in the elevator. And he's like, what's up, man? I'm like, I don't know.
You tell me.
Yeah, like, are we on fire? Because people are wailing. I'm like, someone's buzzing my building. I've ignored it. Now there's a fire guy. Like, you're sitting in the elevator. I see trucks. He's like, no, there's a water break or something on the eighth floor of the building. So I'm like, I'm good. I can go back to bed. He said, yep. So I go back to bed. It's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. I hear somebody in my fucking apartment. The
what?
Lights turn on. I'm dead asleep.
So you're getting
it's
harassed.
All dark in your apartment.
Pitch black.
And the light turns on.
Light turns on. And I go, hello? And the fucking guy answers back. He goes, hello? In my apartment. I'm alone sleeping. I'm like, who is that? Get ready for
with what tone of voice? Were you
like that?
Like threatening?
No.
Or like you're scared?
Like, this could be how the Dave Portnoy story ends. And it was my fucking landlord. And he's like, there's a water break in there. And he's kind of got an accent. His name's Julian. But the landlord has the key to the apartment. He can just come in anytime he wants. He's like, I had to check something in the.
You tell him you sleep
that
naked?
Should be illegal.
And
that should be illegal.
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't go, like, see what was. I was trapped underneath. It's like, I'm not going to just run up naked to this
You're
guy.
Trapped in your nudity.
Yeah, so I'm underneath the blankets. Guy's rolling around the apartment. So that's my shit to talk about. I got no sleep, so if this show stinks, do not hold it against me because I tried to get my 10 hours. I got interrupted 3 times, and I had basically an intruder.
Who was the buzzer guy, though? Who's the buzzer guy?
The fire department, I guess, was just buzzing everybody.
The fire department's trying to buzz the...
What kind of advantage do you get buzzing everybody if there's a water leakage on the top floor?
I don't know what the fuck was going on, but it was a disaster.
Well, maybe you should give out your address to see if anyone was buzzing you in
so
or something like
no,
that.
No, that's my stuff. And by the way, I like anybody who says like you can be a tough guy, I've thought this a million times because you hear horror stories. I'm taking my jacket off, by the way.
Nice.
You're heating up. I don't want a gun. I'm not a gun guy, but I need a nice metal Eastern bat under my bed just in case. Like, if that guy was an intruder, I'm cooked. What am I going to do?
What, are you going to smoke a guy with a bat, though?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather shoot somebody?
No.
Why? You just don't trust yourself with guns.
Gunplay, that's how someone dies inadvertently. A bat.
What if you hit someone in the head with a bat and kill him?
Yeah, but, right. But I can't.
That's like you saying you'd rather stab someone than shoot someone.
No. No, you cannot, like, you can't smash somebody over the head with a bat by accident. You can shoot somebody by accident.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's so personal smashing someone with a bat, and they could just take the bat
from
you.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with a bat. I'm one of those guys that won the Triple Crown in high school. For those who don't know what that is, that's most RBIs, best average, most home runs in the conference. I'm good with a bat. I've never picked up a gun. I've never shot a gun. I have no confidence in my gun ability. With a bat, if I hit you with a bat, you're going down, Roan, and you're staying down. First of all, I'm going to yell at you, Frankie, producer. We had our 15-year-old caller. You're telling me he called from the middle of class, and you didn't put him on the air. You didn't tell me he was on the phone.
I did not know he was in class until I went to go talk to him again because I saw he was on break, and he's like, I have to go, and he just hung up.
When he calls, we put him through. That's what we do.
He was number one on the queue.
Yeah, but it didn't even have the queue up. We're in the middle of a heated discussion. You got to cut in, be like, emergency, we have our 15-year-old. He's in the middle. He's at recess. He has 5 minutes. He wants to call the show. We're going to put him in. He's back in class. He's in calculus now or geometry or something, and we can't talk to him. Anyways, Pat McAfee has joined us. Before we get into this, Pat, the early debate we've had here, and I want your take on it. So real quick, basically my landlord broke into my apartment last night at 1 a.m. when I was sleeping. Didn't tell me it was there. Lights off. We had a water break, and so I thought I had an intruder in the house.
Of course.
Intruder breaks into your place. You're asleep. You have an option to get out of your apartment easily.
Yeah.
Do you flee, or do you confront and fight the intruder?
You go down with the ship, man. That's what
you
fight.
Did.
Yeah, you went down with the ship, right? That's what you did?
No, I was naked. I was trapped.
Ducks. He was left. Crawling out.
I couldn't leave. No, this guy said, he didn't say it was an intruder. He's like, it's Julian. It happened so fast, I knew what was happening before. I'm like, I could get out of here. But I'm on the record. If I thought that was an intruder, I would get out. So, Pat, you're here in New York.
Yeah, guys.
You told me.
Welcome.
Thanks,
you're
man.
Doing the New York thing.
Yeah.
You're going to Hamilton tonight.
Yeah, I am. Pretty excited.
Yeah, which is, to me, like, wild because I think plays stink.
Yeah, you said that. That's so weird to me.
Yeah, and I don't even know, I didn't even know you could buy tickets, by the way, for this.
Oh, on the internet. One on the internet.
Right.
Yeah. I'm still not sure if they're real tickets.
So you might be screwed. Might be at the door.
I might have been scammed.
I know how much his tickets cost. Yes, because guess how much? What do you got? Two tickets.
When
to
did you buy them? When did
two
you
tickets.
Buy them?
Are they good seats?
Well, I'm a big time planner.
So you've
last
known
night.
For like
bought these tickets last night on the internet from a website that had the little lock next to it. So I assume it's safe. Oh, who yeah. knows?
Trusty
what that
lock.
Means.
Trusty lock. You're good. $1,700 a piece.
My guess was going to be $1,300.
Good seats. Are they good seats?
Price is right. You're both wrong. What's that?
Are they good seats?
Yeah, I think so.
$1,000, right?
$1,000 a piece.
Okay, that's
1,001.
From what people make Hamilton seem like, it's like you have to cut off your arm to get a
ticket.
Yeah,
I thought you got it through like one of your NFL connections or something.
I don't have any connections. You think these tickets are a scam? Huh? I think it sounds like from your projections, these tickets are bullshit.
I thought like, you know, like in my world, Hamilton, you could be sitting next to like Obama tonight. Isn't that pretty much how Hamilton works? And by the way,
Pence.
You know who else I hate?
I've sat next to Pence.
A new grudge thing I have. Yeah. And I just look for people to hate.
Yeah.
I hate the Hamilton guy.
He's everywhere.
Manuel? Oh, man. I hate him too, man. Especially, and I'm coming from a rap background, and I hate him as a rapper. And I think a lot of people who are a rapper.
Oh, you just walked into a bear trap.
Yeah.
You're a rapper?
Two-time world battle rap champion. Current. Holding the title.
That's why your brain is return of the Mac. That's why I didn't know that.
Yeah, see that's the secret sauce right there. But I think all
the
other rappers
too much sauce probably.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Do you have your chain on right now?
I don't. I was trying to be humble because I mean we have NFL stars coming around.
I saw the sweatsuit here.
It's jumpsuit January.
Yeah, and I respect it. There's a lot of good jumpsuits in this building here. Are you in one
Caleb,
currently?
Stand up,
of course.
All white. All cocaine. White. Got the cocaine Puma suit on.
Big time cocaine.
Okay, cuz.
That's
Miami.
straight out of the movie Blow.
It's a good look.
It really is.
It's a cold look.
Caleb looks like Jesus right now.
It's cold as hell.
It's cold out.
You were
it's
talking about out. Movies. I just mentioned the word Blow. I've pitched Peter Chernin when I'm like, Peter Chernin, our boss, like, make a movie. And he's like, what is it? And it's going to be the Barstool Story. It's like Blow, except us.
And it ends with Dave getting shot in the back running out of his house.
I like that a lot.
Naked.
All right, so we have two play guys, two not play guys. It is another.
Yeah, Caleb's a play guy.
Roan majored in theater.
I have a degree in theater.
What? You're a rapper who had a major in theater? What
and
the hell just happened?
And journalism. Yeah, I majored in journalism and theater.
Where are you from?
Philly, and I went to Penn State. And so I got these two degrees. I got a degree in theater, and I just can't. I can't imagine song breaking out. Just a song breaking out in the world.
Unbelievable.
This isn't good radio, by the way. That Caleb's just eating this blue dime.
As loud as possible.
I was like, "What is that crinkling?"
Someone unwrapping birthday gifts.
Hey, this is a 12-2 show, Dave.
And it's just blue diamond almonds being manhandled in the office.
Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for the game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place that I look to go get tickets for a game or concert. I mean, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I just used it the other night. I went to the Sixers-Nets game. It was actually an afternoon, but I went to the Sixers-Nets game, went on SeatGeek, and I copped some tickets, and boy, what a deal did I get. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make your life easier for a sports or even a music fan. I mean, SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring you that the best possible deal is right there in front of you. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save all the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, our listeners are going to get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on these tickets, you download that SeatGeek app. You download that freaking SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab and you click add promo code. And you enter that promo code PRES. That's PRES. PRES. That SeatGeek app right there will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. That's $20 just jammed in your pocket. So download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code PRES today.
So we're going to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl week. We're going to be in Houston. It's going to be a huge week. We have the Comedy Central show that we're doing live out there, and I'm going to be doing the Sirius show live. So it was great. It's like we'll do the Sirius show Radio Row. Everybody gets on Radio Row.
Huge stars.
Huge. Yesterday, we found out, talking to Sirius, no, we will not be doing the Sirius show on Radio Row because the NFL has banned me from going on Radio Row.
It's awesome.
Well, me and you were there last year.
Where?
On Radio Row.
No, we weren't.
We didn't have a program, but we were. You got interviewed
there?
On Radio Row. We went down there so you could get interviewed on Radio Row at the Super Bowl in
You're
San
right.
Francisco.
No, we went in the fan entrance, and then when I tried to go on Felger and Maz, the Boston Drive Time Radio, they would not let me into the credential. Who? Roger Goodell. That's who. That slime
who
bag.
Says this?
That communist. That the one of the all.
So your show is probably getting canceled right now.
Hey,
on
do
Sirius?
It. Do it. I hope they do it. I dare them. I want Roger Goodell.
Hold on.
That communist dictator to call and say we can't have this guy on. So when we went there, Caleb, they had to string a wire and they handed me the microphone. But if you recall, I was on the outside of the fence. So
I didn't know that was why. It's because you literally banned.
Yeah, they won't let me.
But how awesome is that?
I love it.
You got to. The fact that they even know to ban you.
Yeah, no,
is awesome.
You keep asking Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell is not sitting there being like Dave Portnoy.
Yes,
banned.
He is.
I bet you his name's on a list.
No,
right?
I bet my fucking mugshot is in that guy's office. That little slime bag. That little. You don't think I have real estate in his head?
I know. I mean,
he knows when he goes to bed at night. I'm the first thing he thinks about, and when he wakes up, the first thing he thinks about. He knows I show up where he doesn't want me to show up. He walks into the courthouse. I'm yelling Hitler, Hitler. Do we have that clip?
Stupid Goodell. People aren't stupid. This is America. You can't lie, 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 lie. You're a liar, Hitler. Hitler!
So why did he ban you?
What a transition, by the way, from lie, lie, straight to Hitler, Hitler, Hitler.
That
was quite a jump.
I live in extremes. Ed from Mississippi, what do you got?
What up, Fred? Hey, first off, if Grayson Allen had a home invasion, he wouldn't need a gun. He would just trip all the robbers. So, boom. So that's a done deal. Boom, that's a joke. All right, three things I want to talk about real quick. All right, first of all, Goodell's not listening. What you need to do is you need to, like, make up a fake media outlet and you get credentials. And you might have to go as disguise. You get 10 Barstool employees to go in case Spy don't get in. Secondly, Pat McAfee does have a little trail over him. He did the Conor McGregor walk after a punt this year.
Yep.
Thirdly, I know you're doing 4 days for the
right.
Comedy Central thing. Have they talked about saying, hey, if y'all do good, will there be more Comedy Central stuff? Thank you, guys.
All right. Ed from Mississippi, longtime caller. Let's start reverse.
A lot of questions.
Yeah.
I like Ed a lot.
I love Ed.
I like Ed a lot.
Boom, that's a joke.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's my joke for today.
Yeah, he did. That was a joke. He's like,
boom, that's my joke. Okay, let me do my thing.
If we kill Comedy Central, will they offer? I have no idea. I assume so. I mean, but who knows? Maybe we say we want something else. I don't know what will happen. This is a Ford thing. They do.
Julie DeCaro is certainly showing up at your Comedy Central live.
She would not have the balls to do that.
Well,
Julie DeCaro,
scientifically,
scientifically,
scruples.
She would not have the pussy to do that. Is that the better way to say
yeah,
it?
Yes,
that is.
That's the progressive approach, right there.
That's
the progressive approach.
Yeah, thank you.
That's just
thank
fair.
You.
We're gonna tease all this, and we're gonna hit break.
We're teasing it.
What are we teasing? You tease it, Frankie. Tease it.
I'm out of
coming back from break. We're going to talk about if Julie DeCaro has a pussy enough to do it.
Great show!
Hey.
Dad, you there?
I'm here.
All right, so
this is awesome.
Yeah, and my dad.
Can I do this quickly before I give the grade? I just got a couple things. I want to say Pat was like a shot of adrenaline for this. Improved my grade tremendously. I want to say you're wonderful, Pat.
I'm going to take that. I appreciate that.
My dad's very on. He said the show was so bad day one, he had to hang up and couldn't listen to it anymore.
I love your dad. I think I love your dad. Thanks, right. Man.
Yeah, I want to say one other thing to you. When you're talking about the play and you say you want to see if somebody screws up, it's kind of like you like to go to a stock car race and want to see a crash.
Okay,
absolutely.
Dad.
Absolutely.
Was that your phone, Dad?
Busy.
Did your phone ring?
Don't worry about it.
I am worried about it.
All right. Anyway, so that's what I would say.
Can you
about that.
Can you stop the phone ringing? Amazing. Your phone is ringing. Can you just shut that off?
I know. All right.
Can you shut that off?
So fired up about that analogy.
Just shut the phone off. All right.
Yeah. All right. I did. The other thing, David, I'm amazed that you didn't mention that when you were in Boston, your landlord came into your apartment while you were right to where you were sleeping.
Yep. That's.
Remember that?
Yeah. There was a water break, and he stuck his thumb in. There was water shooting out everywhere, and again.
Whoa. Yeah, I didn't know where the thumbstick was going.
No, into the water main. Yes, true.
All right, I couldn't believe you didn't mention that. By the way, Pat, you got to do a review of Hamilton. And in that regard, yeah. Your mother has very kindly volunteered, Dave. She'll go with you. If you want to go.
Am I bringing the family together here?
It sounded if I understood that, my mom wants to go to Hamilton with me. Is that what you're saying?
Well, she's volunteering because you have to go now, and she's volunteering to go with you. And I think that's very nice of her. She's so busy that she would do that.
Okay. Duly noted.
The other thing, too, I want to mention that you didn't bring up. You saw boxing up close and personal when Vinnie Paz knocked out that Rosenblatt kid after the bell. You remember that?
Yeah. My dad once managed a Jewish fighter, and not managed. He was part of the ownership group, probably a tiny sliver of Dangerous Dana Rosenblatt, who fought like 100 tomato cans and was like 100-0. And then we went to a big fight in Atlantic City versus Vinny Pazienza, who just had a movie come out, actually. And right. Pazienza just assassinated him. And then my camp, the Portnoy camp, if I remember the spin zone on that, was that Pazienza hit him after the bell. But what was left out of that is he hit him 100 times in the middle of the round
before
as well.
Before the bell, too.
Yeah, he hit him before the bell. Yeah. And as he was falling to the canvas, maybe there's one cheap shot thrown in after the bell.
Yeah, I think to say he hit him is an understatement. It was like an atom bomb exploded on him. But that's neither here nor
there. I didn't know this history of boxing in the Portnoy family, by the way, before I got into it.
Makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, everything. I got, Dad, you I got blindsided.
Dad, you got 1 minute.
All right, I'm going to do this quickly. I'm going to give you a solid B for today. I think it was much better. I think Pat gets a lot of credit for that. You got to get him back. You got to get him give you a review of Hamilton for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's everything I was going to talk about, I guess. And I think a solid B is good. I'm a tough grader.
You are tough. Well, going from you not finishing the show on day one to you giving now a B, that is a fairly big improvement.
I had to stay on today because your mother wanted to go to Hamilton and wanted to make sure I said something.
Okay. All right.
I love that he used it as an angle to get your ball.
Yeah, and you're much clearer than when you called in yesterday, too.
Different phone.
Well, there you go. Use that phone for the future. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Dad.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, bye.
I think I love that guy.
That's my dad. He's become kind of a big hit. He's on now.
He and my dad would get along really well, I think.
He wants to be on now everything, too. And he says he's like, I'm the guy from Pardon My Take, Portnoy's Complaints. We got 10.
How about this song you guys are picking to go out on?
That was my choice.
Good
call. You're great. You're great.
My grade was a B minus.
Humble.
See you tomorrow.
I'm going to start, and I have four things that are kind of on my mind. I'm going to start with one that's really not a huge one, but I'm excited because that Dave, the intern who took the picture of my bald spot the other day, Robert Leonard, huge hair guy, got a personal call from him about an hour ago, being like, we're going to fix you up nice.
Really?
Call me, goes, I'm going to send me pictures, go into the shower, make it look as bad as you can. I'm going to look at it. We're going to fix you up nice. So in that way, that's the good thing about having a serious show about, you know, being a pseudo public figure. You say you got to get your hair fixed.
Dr. Leonard fix you up nice.
Best hair guy in the country calling me being like, Dave, we're going to take care of you. So that's good. But the real shit that's on my mind, this hockey thing, the World Juniors. Okay, so last night, USA beat Canada, shootout, overtime, great game. USA was down 4-2 going into the third period. It was actually 2-2 after the second period, 4-2. Canada takes a two-goal lead. Things in Montreal. Place is going bananas. USA ties it up. They win in overtime and shootouts. Great atmosphere. So it's like college guys playing against college guys. Hockey people are nuts. So like hockey.
This was in Canada, right?
It was in Montreal. So, you know, hockey people absolutely take hockey so seriously. So it was exciting, good hockey. My thing is, I don't know how this ends in a shootout. It drives me bananas that you can end something like this in a shootout.
Why? Because I'm not that big of a hockey guy, so explain why a shootout isn't like a good end to it. Like, it's not a fair
end
to the
game?
Well,
I mean, I'm not a soccer guy either, but when they end the World Cup in PKs, that's short. PKs are short for penalty kicks. That has nothing to do with who the better team is. Goalies are jumping the other way. Breakaways with nobody, that's like mini one-on-one. That's like what they do in between their Bruins. If you're playing a game that people are going to say is this important, it would be like ending a football game with field goals. Like, let's see who can kick the
But it's exciting. It's like, we've been watching this. We've been watching them play regular hockey for 90 minutes now. It's way more exciting.
Overtime hockey is some of the best shit going. You play till someone scores in the flow of the action. It's ridiculous. And then we looked it up. That's how they end it in the Olympics. So that's my rant. It's kind of a rant, but a thought of the day. I'm disgusted by the fact that something that people care about that much, and they do care about it.
You just want it to be Quidditch where they play for 24 hours until somebody scores a goal?
Like that. You don't up and down score in the court. Are you just disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing?
I'm not disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing. When I saw the shootout was coming on, I was like, oh, sweet, a shootout. I'm not a big hockey guy, but it's like, oh, a shootout, something I can understand.
That's a simpleton thing, though. It's like ending a basketball game on free throws. I mean, it's just that how do you end something like that?
Because it has to end. It has to end.
But let it end naturally in the course of
the game. So you just want it to be a Quidditch game that goes on for 14 years.
I can't believe we're using Quidditch, which is a made-up thing from Harry Potter.
Well, do you want to go to, like, 4-on-4, and then if that doesn't work, go down to 3-on-3 for overtimes?
No.
Three-on-three is electric.
Time out. We've played hockey, or people have played hockey, at least I'm going to take a stab at this, since 1907. They've been playing hockey in Canada since then.
Right.
The longest game in the NHL, in the history of NHL, I think it's 3 overtime periods. So who cares? If it goes 3 overtime periods, it goes 3 overtime periods. Get beat in the flow of the action. These analogies I'm making are some of the best analogies in the history of serious radio. Ending a basketball game on free throws. Ending.
I really like my Quidditch analogy.
Ending a baseball game on a home run derby.
I think you're trying to turn hockey into Quidditch.
Have you ever played Quidditch?
Quidditch?
Yes.
I never played Quidditch.
Have you ever played that? You've played this game?
I've never played Quidditch, but I read Harry Potter.
It's like it's a NCAA, for people who don't know what Quidditch is, Quidditch is the game they play in Harry Potter where they run around with the ball
on broomsticks.
And the game goes on until somebody catches the fly. But no, it's a club sport now. Like dorks at Ivy League schools take this shit like serious.
And now hockey players are going to
And I don't know how they do it because they're running around with the broomsticks in their dicks. So we're back. We're still somewhat confused on the music situation at breaks. Like, we just heard Pump Up the Jam. Now, did you pick that, Frankie? Can everybody hear that, or is it just us who can hear that?
They hear that for, like, 3 seconds.
And who picked it?
I did.
So you're going through and programming all our music every single day?
Yes.
How long does that take?
Takes a long time.
I heard Pete, the senior producer, be like, tell him it takes a long time. I mean, I heard
Pete's
that.
Fraud in over there. I know Pete loves
I mean,
to
it
make
does
it look
take
like
a long time. He
hard.
Just didn't want me to lie to you.
No,
like,
I believe it. It's just a pretty eclectic mix of music. I
try and hit every demographic, every age group.
Okay, way to go. Way to go. So Pat McAfee is back. Just got here.
Good, and Pump Up the Jam.
And we're going to talk about your Hamilton experience after the break coming back. But you just brought in, which I found weird to be, you were sensitive. You came in, you're like,
yeah,
I can't believe I'm a scarf guy.
First
like,
time
it's
life.
Cold. Is it okay to wear scarf? Look at what this guy's wearing on his head. We talked about earlier. He's wearing a neck warmer on his head.
I respect
head.
That.
Me and you see eye to eye on a lot of things.
You look real good in that.
Thanks, man.
The scarf thing, I
never worn one.
I mean, scarf.
This is my lady's scarf right now.
It actually looks like a girl's scarf. But scarves are not something that people should be, oh, my God, am I soft
because
I'm wearing a scarf.
No, I felt amazing wearing it.
You have to wear it.
So the NFL playoffs are in full swing. Some of us are blessed to have teams that are in the playoffs right now. I'm an Eagles fan. The Eagles are not in the playoffs right now. So how am I going to pique my own interest in these playoffs? Maybe I'll throw a little bit of money on the game and fatten up my wallet while I wallow in despair myself. BetDSI has been in business for over 20 years. That's 2 decades if you're keeping track at home. It's the top-rated business on sportsbook review sites. And by sportsbook review sites, we mean all of them. It's got a great mobile product that's easy to use, not just from some places, but from anywhere. and you can participate in a little live in-game wagering. You can make plays throughout entire games and events. They've got great customer service available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can build a reputation on fast payments through their already existing reputation on fast payments of all the winnings that you can win at BetDSI. And guess what? The first $10 to try the service is free just for registering. That's right, you'll get $10 right in your pockets. And you can get a 200% bonus on your first deposit with DSI if you use the special promo code BARSTOOL200. So if you deposit $500, you'll get $1,000 in total bonus credits. That's BetDSI.
This is Barstool Radio on SiriusXM Rush 93. Here's your host, Dave Portnoy.
People are mad about my hockey shit. I knew hockey people, they're crazy. And you don't want this. So we made a GIF. A GIF, by the way, for all those at home, is something you just stick on the internet with a picture. But they pulled this quote, and the hockey people don't like it. I have a bunch of ideas to fix hockey. Hockey's not even a major sport. That's going to offend people, but it's true. To fix hockey, you got to make the goalie pads smaller. You got to make the nets bigger, and you got to go 3-on-3. Boom, that was easy. Pat, you think hockey's a major sport?
What the fuck just happened?
Do you think hockey's a major...
Excuse me?
Do you think hockey's a major sport?
Yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh, though.
So that's a man. I'm from Boston. But you... All right, so four major sports, then. Baseball, football, NBA, and hockey.
Yeah.
In the United States. There's no chance hockey's on the same level.
Yeah, in North Carolina, we used to
there's
have
no
like
chance.
A
but
little,
is every league
equal to every,
what's the biggest league? The NFL?
Yeah.
You think? So the NFL, it's on its own league, right? I mean, we put up a Pro Bowl draft and it was number one rated.
No, NFL's crazy. There's no doubt. But those three are so far ahead of the NHL.
Yeah, but NFL's so far ahead of the other one. I think NHL is just in fourth place right now. But maybe if your rules came in, maybe it would be a major.
I guess when you're like the NHL goes when the NBA is going and when the NFL and
NHL is an expensive hockey's an expensive sport to play, so I don't think it relates with everybody in America. But I think people like it.
What do you think makes more money, NASCAR or hockey?
Oh,
NASCAR.
Shit.
NASCAR is probably bigger than hockey.
How about golf? Where does
golf bigger than hockey?
Well,
you
no, you
golf
can't.
Is
you
bigger
can't.
Than hockey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
we don't have hockey in the South. Hockey is not a thing in the South.
Because like only white like yuppies play golf.
We have teams in the South, but no one cares.
And I think golf may
it.
Be a hobby, not a sport.
Oh wow, that's a take.
But people watch.
Well, I don't.
I'm just talking
yeah,
ratings
that's a
wise. Though.
Bad take.
Well, is it a bad take though?
Yeah, it's competitive. There's skill involved. There's a winner. There's a loser.
Yeah,
ball. There's a stick.
Yeah, but rock paper scissors is competitive. Is that a sport? Is bowling, like, I mean, there's a lot
yeah,
of
yeah, bowling is a sport, too.
All right, okay, is...
Wait a minute.
Is video games a sport?
It is. It's one of the, it's becoming one of the biggest sports. Esports
okay.
is becoming
well,
one
is
of the biggest.
All right, you
activity,
have to be athletic though. To play a sport.
Not if it's online.
All right, so then we're having very different definitions of sport. I think athletic ability. I've gone over this. I think of something, if you don't know what this... All right, you have a draft, right?
All right.
And you don't know what you're about to play. You don't know what you're about to do. Who do you pick? That's how you define a sport. You're not picking a golfer.
That's how you.
So
pick
you're
an
picking
athlete.
The best athletes.
Yeah.
You're picking the
that,
best.
That well,
athletes.
The best athlete is generally the best at multiple sports. A sport should test your athletic ability.
But I would say every single one that we've mentioned,
well,
other
rock,
than
paper, scissors,
e-sports
rock paper scissors,
is at
what
that
about
way.
A dart?
No,
what
a
about
golfer
darts?
Isn't.
What
a
about throwing darts? Is that a sport?
No, I don't think so. I think again, that's muscle
activity.
Look, yeah, it's an activity. It's a hobby. Like golf.
What about
golf?
Curling?
Look who plays golf. It's people who grew up on country clubs who got lessons and muscle memory themselves to death.
So you have to run for
it
to be
I could
sport.
Be a pro golfer.
Okay.
If I grew
if
up playing
time.
Golf, if I grew up on a country club, took lessons, muscle memoried the shit out of myself, I'd be on tour.
So I don't know.
No, I do. I just
I don't
said
know.
It.
It's a different level, though.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. If you watch those pro guys hit a ball, well, I don't know. I saw
yeah,
Vinatieri compete with a couple pro
but
guys,
but they
actually.
Played their whole lives.
Yeah, it's muscle memory, just like punting and kicking, though.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to be explosive in some sort of way to do it. You know what I mean? I
would
think
you consider NASCAR
some...
a sport?
They because are competing.
No.
They are
no,
competing.
No, I think it's a hobby.
You think NASCAR is a hobby?
Yeah.
Activity, you're thinking.
Activity,
yeah. Not a hobby, an activity. A professional activity is what he thinks.
Yeah, no, I think it is because it's kind of like it's like racing a horse in a way. It's like if you have the like.
So jockeys are not athletes. Wow, you're a horse guy.
I love horses.
Wow, this is going to affect the community of horses.
I think for the most part, let me put it this way, and I agree to a degree. I think it's similar in a way with auto racing, but a horse race, for example, the best horse is going to win 99.9% of the time. The jockey just they do make moves, but if you put me on Secretariat, Secretariat's winning.
So you're saying the horse is the athlete.
And the car, the auto, the engine is the athlete.
I don't know. It sounds like you're almost saying that, like, kicking a ball isn't a sport.
Well, I think it's a part of a sport.
Rowan, I'm going to go back to what I just said. If you're doing a draft and you have no idea, it's like the Superstars competition back on NBC. If you don't know what you're about to play, would you ever take a NASCAR driver
like
or
a
jockey?
Let's say there's a punt passing kick.
No, you're taking like a shortstop or a center fielder or a wide receiver.
But a punt passing kick is pretty much like glorified darts.
Oh, wow.
That's like big boy darts.
Punt passing kick was like a highlight. Little boy darts. There's a picture on my fridge right now when I won punt passing kick when I was 15.
But Andy Reid won punt
passing
kick.
So you need to have some respect.
Andy Reid won punt
kick. And look at that mustache, too. He's a man.
He's got a good stash.
It's running. It's tackling.
Pump, pass, and kick?
Let's not say pump, pass, and kick. I was just talking shit. But you're talking like throwing, catching,
any
running,
sport.
Jumping. You're talking like
you may have to go play basketball. You may have to go play football.
So is
you
the
may
NBA to... the most competitive sport? Because they're usually.
I think NBA guys are actually, I've said this a lot. I think of all the sports where normal people can just step in and kind of do maybe. You can't do that
in
the NBA.
You have to be born to be in the NBA.
Yeah,
you have to be very athletic.
It's point guards, it's center fielders, it's shortstops, it's wide receivers, soccer players, like great
soccer.
Those are the guys who are like, oh, and you see it with LeBron, who I hate, but it's like people are like, oh, LeBron could totally go play tight end in the NFL. He probably could. It's shit like that.
So just to clarify what you're saying, you think that you have to be an athlete. For the sport to be considered a sport, it has to be a true athlete who's participating.
I don't necessarily think that. Like I've always said, like lacrosse is a sport where great athletes will excel. Hey, shout out Jim Brown. But like the people who play lacrosse aren't the best athletes in America because those guys generally they can't play the other sports.
Do you
think
Tiger Woods was the best athlete that came into golf? That's why he took over.
I don't. Yeah, maybe he also
started lifting.
He also did steroids.
Oh boy.
And he was trained.
I did not know that.
No,
that's a brain. That's a.
No, that's
breaking news.
That's I just found that out.
That's a Dave Portnoy fact.
You're all in on this?
100%. That's why he started getting injured every 2 seconds.
No, I thought that was because the whole golf
club
through
the golf
window,
club.
Sex with everybody.
Well, he was just mentally weak. One
like
of the
golf is 90% mental.
But also, if you look at Tiger Woods, right? Yeah. They have those clips of him on like the Johnny Carson show when he was a 1 year old perfecting his golf swing. Eldred was his dad was a drill sergeant, and it's just like I'm building. All right,
the perfect golfer.
And you can't do that for like football. You can't be like, I am building the
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning, that they were like a talented. Like,
yeah, but Archie like groomed. You see those commercials of him like throwing
no,
in the front
I know,
yard
but,
with like drills.
But
like 6'5".
Yeah, he's born into it.
He was born and the whole family's very talented. Like my dad, if my dad did what Tiger's dad did with me with a golfer, I would be a pro golfer. It didn't matter what he did with
any
other
sports.
Are you
a good golfer right now? Yeah.
No, I am not.
Oh, so you're just throwing this out there.
Yeah.
You have no idea. If
No. I mean, if I break 100, I'm happy. But
holy shit, that's
listen,
a long
Tom
day.
But listen, if you're going by your whole athlete draft thing, like Tom Brady's not getting drafted in any athlete draft.
Yeah, he did.
Draft.
He got drafted in baseball.
But I'm saying he's not getting, like, if you're looking at a bunch of dudes who are athletes, like, I would probably pick, like, a downhill skier as opposed to Tom Brady, if we're
but
just
Tom Brady
any,
what the fuck just happened? What just?
If we're just talking any, if we're just talking any athlete for any athletic competition,
you're picking a
downhill
skier over Tom
Jeremy
Brady?
Jeremy Bloom in a vacuum. If I'm looking at a guy who is like athletic and I see how Tom Brady runs around,
right.
He's not typically.
Some of these
athletic.
Guys at Planet Fitness last night look pretty athletic.
They look pretty athletic.
What is going on?
Yeah,
here?
No, but
I'm
dude,
just
you,
if you're just gonna any athlete just have
no,
it, however athletic or not.
Yeah, no, Tom Brady though got drafted in two sports, man.
But I'm,
he can throw. He's got good feet. He's got instincts.
He just doesn't look like an athlete like you're saying.
What do you mean he doesn't look like? He's like he's like gorgeous. He's like 6'4".
Gorgeous has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, big time.
Thank you.
I just had to slip that in.
I don't. I have the upper body of a middle-aged man. But so you're saying you have to look athletic to be athletic?
I mean, I think that's what the
Jeremy Bloom was a good athlete.
Jeremy Bloom was a great athlete.
Yeah. He did the skiing. What's the
skiing? He was a punt returner for Colorado.
Slalom.
That's the one. He did the one where you do it.
But you do it.
Right? Isn't that what he did?
He did the one where you do it.
It's the same.
I don't know skiing. I don't know that shit.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Willie. Willie wants to chime in on this subject. Willie, what do you got?
Hey, guys. What's up? Love the show.
Thank you.
Listen, golf is a skill. It's not a sport.
Agreed.
Oh, I
and
respect
there's
that.
No defense. No one plays defense against you when you're playing golf. No one's trying to stop you from doing anything. It's a skill. It's an awesome skill. Unbelievable.
What about punting?
I could practice playing basketball every day of my life, and I would not play in the NBA. I could practice playing golf every day of my life, and I'd be really, really good at it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's what it's all muscle memory, and it's a skill. You just keep getting better and better and better. And you see these guys, they're like little dorky country club guys who literally, you couldn't do any, I could stick them in a bat bag and any other thing, but this is what they've done their whole life. Punting, I mean, you're sitting across the table.
You should keep it real.
I think you need some degree, but again, if I was trained to be a punter my whole life, I'd probably be a pro punter.
That's
at the very least, a full scholarship
like
college
Dustin
punter.
That's like Dustin Colquitt and Britton Colquitt. Their dad was a punter in the league. Their uncle was a punter in the league. And they're really, really good because they've been doing it a long time.
And it's very
really,
similar.
Really good.
You see NASCAR guys. It's like, well, first of all, how do you even get in a car? Like, if I raised my hand growing up, like, yo, I want to start driving NASCARs.
What's your dad say?
Like, I don't know how to do that.
You know, that's why there's a lot of nepotism in NASCAR, because you have to have the family, and it's super expensive, so you have to have the family and the resources. Probably the biggest nepotism.
It's the same family.
It's like golf. It's like money. So it's like golf. It's all super
rich.
Wealthy people get in.
And also your parents can do it. And also, Dave, there's no way you could be an NFL punter.
Wow.
What are you talking
about?
Respect.
No. If I did it my whole life,
about?
I don't know.
Like, Dustin Colquitt's like, what, 6'3"? He's like a big boy,
these
right?
These dudes are like,
I'm the shortest guy.
Pat is big.
Pat is huge. But
I'm not that big. What are you talking about, Pat's big?
I'm like 235 right now.
Yeah, how tall are you?
These mics stand up.
Come on, son.
How tall are you?
Probably like 6'1", 6'foot.
And how athletic were you in high school generally?
Good.
Yeah, you were the best at everything, weren't you?
He was good athletic.
You were the best at everything,
weren't you? Sophomore year of high school, I could dunk.
Okay, Dave.
Ooh.
But now he's
what? Because? I can't dunk now, though. 230, I'm a big guy now.
I'm just saying, you were probably the best athlete, period, in your high school, period, and you're a punter now.
What sports did you play?
Soccer, volleyball, great sport.
I don't take either of those sports seriously.
I respect that so much. But if you're going to do like an athletic thing, you got to, like, what, run, throw?
Jump.
You know all that stuff.
What?
All those sports are, like, athletic sports.
I doubt that I bet you Glennie Balls could give you a good race. I'm not saying he would beat you, but Glennie Balls
I saw him walk into a
race.
Fast food place yesterday to pick up food for somebody.
Fast.
Dude was on
a
clip.
I bet you this.
I'll pay to see a Glennie Balls Dave race.
I bet you this. In our prime of running, I was the fastest guy in this office.
You're out
guaranteed.
Are we talking distance speed, like a
40-yard
dash?
No, explosive. Explosion.
Dave.
We got to put everybody on the starting
block. I thought
you said
we were keeping this real today.
It's so real. I was the fastest motherfucker in my town.
So what happened then?
You know what? This is a true story.
What happened?
No, this is a true
story. There's two former D1 athletes sitting in this room.
No, this is a true story. This is a true story. Back
break.
No.
That's a tease.
Frankie, he's about to ruin his credibility.
No, this
Hold
is
on,
true.
I got someone that wants to chime in on this.
What does that mean? I'm about to tell a great story. Are we going to take this? All right, who wants to chime in? Are you just putting them on? Is it going to be my dad?
Well, I was going to wait till later on and give you a grade. You're not done yet.
This is awesome.
Okay, so, all right. I don't know why you just ended up the phone. We listen. Can you just answer to these people whether I was fast?
Yeah, you were fast for a Pop Warner guy, yeah.
I'm telling you.
In your town.
On our street.
I was
street. You're the fastest kid on the street.
I would be faster than when everybody ran as fast as they ran, I'd be the fastest kid. So we're not close to done, so what are you actually doing on the phones right now?
Listen on the phone. I didn't think he put me on this early. Frankie's
got to
get his game together.
Frankie, you hear that?
Hey, give Frankie a grade real quick.
All right, so I'm going to hang up on you then?
You can hang up and then put
him
on
hold.
Okay, he just got shut off. Here's a fact.
Fastest kid on the street.
I was going to tell you this.
King of the street.
When you came to my elementary school, right, you had to race me. It was like, if a new
kid
came into the town, and they'd be like, I'm fast. It's like, let's take it to the streets, motherfucker. I was a fast fucking kid.
And you
I
were
was,
the champ all through elementary school.
No, I never lost a race.
Not one.
Not one.
Older kid, younger kid, doesn't
matter.
Did not
matter.
Doesn't matter.
Fourth of July races we had in the town where the entire town goes and you run races, they give medals.
Do they bet on you? Like, are the parents betting on you right
never
now?
Never lost.
They must have been.
This is incredible.
Never lost.
I just found out your dad betted on you, like, in racing.
I was, even for him even to give me the credit, I was the fastest kid around. And the whole state. If I go run, I just beat people. No.
Wow.
I was super fast.
You did it a lot, huh?
I'm just telling
the whole state.
A kid comes into school like, yo, you got to see Dave. This guy can run.
Little David got some wheels.
Serious speed. Don't make me play. I put together. I've already got a Pup Warner montage that we've played.
He's got a clip. He's got a highlight tape.
Oh, man. All right. So,
we're up against a break, though.
Are we?
Yes.
Dave is wrong. We'll get to that
this
guy.
This is incredible radio, I think.
Yeah. Jerry Thornton is in New York today. So for those who don't know, Jerry was our Patriots beat writer back in the early Barstool days. Went to WEEI, was on their Drive Time radio show. Now he's back with Barstool, and you actually were saying you missed talking radio. So you can talk radio now.
It's a big adjustment to go from 4 hours a day to zero. I mean, the Sox make the deal for Chris Sale, and I'm sitting in my house by myself. You know, and Carab has it covered on line, so there's literally no one to talk to about it. It's weird.
You're every time you get a little bit comfortable, then you change again, and you're back, like, so you're comfortable with the original Barstool, then you go to radio, and now you're back to this. Yeah, what about the NFC, Jerry?
Yeah, I do like Seattle. I'm anxious to see what Dallas can do, but I'm a Russell Wilson guy. Even though he's a kook, and even though he went celibate with his incredible smoke show, fiancé.
Yeah,
that was really nuts. There, that gave religion a bad name. And I try to be a fairly decent Catholic boy, but with power comes great responsibility. You're an NFL quarterback. You owe it to your team to go out and score the best tail you possibly can. You don't not
touch
that.
And there's differences, and that's kind of what I was saying with you, Caleb. I mean, obviously, Tebow's the gold standard. But, like, I mean, that there's Catholics, but 99% of them, I think, are fucking before they're married. I mean, he wasn't, supposedly, unless you subscribe
you
to the school.
You think that there's a chance that he was fucking?
Well, he was married already.
No, he had been married to that other chick, when Sierra brought him along.
He wasn't like a virgin. He's already been married.
No, but he wouldn't have sex with Sierra till he's married again.
Sierra wouldn't have sex with him.
But there is a school of thought, and this is where we blend Jerry being a little bit older than Caleb being younger, and I'm probably sandwiched more towards Jerry's side, but the middle. There is a school of thought that the reason he said that he wasn't having sex is because future threatened to murder him. So,
really?
Yeah.
I don't buy that for a second.
No.
That's a real story.
I'm saying I just don't buy that's the reasoning. Like, if Future tried to, like, if Future might have said that or whatever, but he's not going to, like, that's not why he's tucking his dick
well,
back
how
in
would,
his
how, would, how would Future know?
Like, you better not fuck my ex.
But it's like, no, but he said that. I'll look it up right now.
I said it, but even if he did say it, how would Future know? Like, was Russell Wilson going to, like, tweet out afterwards? Was he going to live stream it? Was he going to Periscope it? Facebook Live?
Someone's going to get a candid
this
photo
is me
of him
doing
with a cigarette,
sex with Sierra.
A post-coital
Future.
Cigarette.
I was going by the theory early in the season where he was playing like garbage that it's because he started banging Sierra, and that if he was...
He got weak legs.
She was like a succubus, like took all his mojo away from him.
Wow, that's... Okay, so Dave just pulled up an article on Pitchfork, which is a very credible... organization. Future threatening to murder Russell Wilson, Sierra legal documents say.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and by the way.
However, if you don't have sex with her, you can be engaged.
Yeah.
But if you're actually putting your parts into her parts, then I'm going to kill you.
And also, dead serious, if you had to pick, it's obvious where I'm leading with this, one quarterback to actually get murdered, it would be Russell Wilson. He seems like the type of guy, like, he's just like, I got murdered.
What do you mean he would get murdered because he's, like, because he's frail or because, like,
murdered.
He deserves it?
No, he's murderable. Like, if I'm, like, I'm going to go murder somebody and I'm going to be able to do it and just, like, kill them, I'd be like, Russell Wilson, he's just such that, like, choir boy. It's like, dude, I can murder you, my eyes closed.
You would skip over Kirk Cousins to murder Russell Wilson?
I don't think Kirk Cousins is that easy to murder.
You don't think he's murderable?
Oh, you're saying easy to murder.
Easy to murder.
I think Kirk Cousins might be the most murderable person in the NFL.
No way. Easier than Russell Wilson?
I'd go with Jay Cutler if we're talking quarterbacks.
No way.
Jay Cutler, where's that come from?
Just because he's half dead anyway.
No.
I mean,
no,
he just needs a little shove. I mean, he sleepwalks through life.
No, I think Jay Cutler's a little got some villain in him where you think you, like.
He would kill you.
I'd be scared of Jay Cutler. Yeah, he would kill you before you kill him.
I think if you pulled Bears fans, they'd all, like, they'd pay good money for the ones to pull the trigger.
I am saying we're maybe talking a little different things. Bears fans don't like him. I'm talking about legitimately committing murder. If you're like, you have to murder one person and get away with it. I don't think Jay Cutler is like, I think he strikes me as kind of shifty. Like, he's not going to be the easiest guy. Russell Wilson,
you just lure him with some cheese. Just lure him with the Bible and kill him.
Yeah, I really do. And by the way, I don't know about future. Are you a future guy?
Yeah.
Is he the guy? We've always, Jerry, we've had this question, and I'll throw it. Could he murder somebody? Is he that thug?
He could have someone murdered. Okay. I don't know if he would do it, but he would have someone murdered 100%.
Another question, Jerry, in NFL. I'm glad we got an expert in here. Sure. We've debated this. More like if you had to go to Vegas and you had, $500,000 and you had to bet on this prop, who commits murder first? They may neither of them do, but Aqib Talib or Pac-Man Jones?
I'm going to say Pac-Man because as much as Aqib likes to be on the other side of the legal line, I think his craziness is sort of more fun. You know what I mean? Like pulling Michael Crabtree's chain off, that was like legit a funny move to pull. That was more like a harmless prank. Whereas Pac-Man is a violent felon who's trying to keep the lid on his crazy.
I don't know if I agree with our You're a wankster, Coley, but we got four guys. I don't know that, like, Michael Crabtree thinks pulling his chain off is, like, a harmless little, like, prank.
Chain snatching's legit. I think in, like, the hood.
I thought it was cheeky hijinks. It was shenanigans.
Yeah.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun, which, theirs are cruel, which makes them not shenanigans at all. Whereas, I mean, Pac-Man just got arrested again the other day.
We are going to talk some Golden Globes. I will say, I'm catching a lot of heat for this tweet that I put out yesterday during the Packers-Giants game. I thought it was kind of cheeky. Like, I sometimes people take things serious on Twitter. But on that Jordy Nelson, when he basically
got his rib shattered.
Yeah. Broken rib, collapsed lung, ruptured spleen, I believe is the official diagnosis.
Oh, my God.
That's the official diagnosis. I tweeted in real time, as I like to do, Jordy Nelson with the classic drop ball fake injury move, or as I like to call it, the LeBron. So people now, I just keep getting ruptured spleen isn't. But it is. LeBron does that. If like LeBron.
If he ruptured his spleen, he'd be on the ground complaining like a little bitch.
Yeah, if LeBron makes a bad play, he acts like he got mugged. And Jordy Nelson just dropped the ball and then got a helmet planted, which should have been a flag, actually. He led with his head.
It's a spear, pretty much. Yeah, it was Goldberg out
it was.
There.
One of my favorite examples of that ever was Randy Moss torching Darrell Revis when he was at the Jets for a touchdown. And Revis immediately knew enough, veteran move, right, grabbed the hammy and just, the old Al Cervic, oh, my arm, it's broken.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
But LeBron retired the trophy for that.
And I am going to give you, Jerry, I've been using a quote. I think you like to dig into your bag of deep quotes, but you wrote something about Revis. I was not enough to succeed, but you see your enemies fail. And it was like Kin Kan Koon or something said it. Do you know who said that quote?
It's been attributed to many different people, probably a Broadway producer named David Merrick. I actually took the time to Google to get to the bottom of that, but it's true. It's not enough that I succeed, others must fail. And watching Revis completely spit the bit this year and become the guy that the Patriots were happy to move away from, and he would have been maybe the fourth best cornerback on the Patriots this year, and he's making $39 million guaranteed.
And if you put you and I in a room, two of the bigger, well-known Patriot drumbeats, we can go Patriot back and forth. I don't want to do it, but I do just want to say this. It's amazing how nobody's talking about Jamie Collins. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it bubbles up every year when the Patriots get rid of supposedly one of their best players, a lot of times on defense. And people just go crazy. It's like, oh, Belichick's not trying to win this year. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's always right. He's right like 100% of the time. And then you got to have the same lecture. Be like, well, he's right. He's been right the last 1,000 times he's made this move. I'm going to bet 1,001 is going to be right. It's always right. Golden Globes.
Yes.
So watch these yesterday. The big one, the Golden Globes is the one they can drink. That's what they're known for.
And do some other drugs. You see some of the people under those lights last night? They were sweating. Guys were coming up for their second go-around. It's like, if that guy's not on coke, then, like, no one does coke.
It's a good-looking crew. It's always interesting. I love award shows. The big one was Meryl Streep going after Trump during her speech. And first of all, I already knew Meryl Streep. I hate actors who take acting so seriously, like The Craft and this and that. And she's one of the all-time. So you knew going up, the speech that introduced her was the most over-the-top speech I've ever heard.
I loved it.
You did love it.
I was so into it when they were doing that speech. I was so fired. I almost shed a tear. I was so into it.
Are you being
sarcastic? I'm being dead serious that I didn't know there was that much controversy, but I loved that speech.
You're talking about her speech.
I'm talking about the lady that Viola
Yeah,
Davis.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
And once we get the show down cold, we should be playing, like, because probably some people are like, what the hell are these guys talking about? It'd be nice to have the soundbite of the speech. We don't. Frankie, everyone keeps telling me, though, producer Frankie, that you are super fired up about what Meryl Streep said. So why don't you give us your take?
She's just an asshole.
But I'm kind of... Did you have this hatred for her before the speech started, Frankie?
I despise Meryl Streep.
Why?
That's an interesting rivalry.
But you said you've never seen one of her movies, though.
That's exactly why. Every award show, she's getting her dick sucked every single
year. You ever think about checking out one of her films to see what's going on?
I mean, what? I'm looking at them right now.
Devil Wears Prada, right? She's in
Manhattan in 1978.
Well, Frankie, but you're 23, man. So this is a strange rivalry.
It looks like a witch.
I've never heard you mad about anybody before. You're generally like a very nice, easygoing, and all of a sudden Meryl Streep is in your like ass. Like I've never. You're 23. She's got to be like what, 70? What a rivalry!
I despise her.
Frankie, I'm with you on this, and it's not just her. It's all of Hollywood, and these award shows are a window into their soul, where you get the full brunt of how important they think they
yes.
are. Do you remember the South Park where this cloud of smug, like rose up out of Hollywood after George Clooney's Oscar acceptance speech when he talked about how Hollywood basically discovered AIDS and we're responsible for the cure and all this other crap. Once in a while, you get a peek behind the curtain, and award shows are it, where they're all sitting there wearing fucking blood diamonds and lecturing you about, you know, about your morality or whatever. DiCaprio last year, worst example ever. He nagged us about our carbon footprints, yeah. Hopped a Gulfstream, and flew out to the fourth biggest yacht in the world and banged a bunch of supermodels. But he's mad at me because I drive a four-cylinder Toyota Corolla.
And then you always get the other ones on the other side of the fence who seem like they kind of get it. And, like, I mean, like Steve Carell, who's my absolute, like, favorite. I'm an office guy. Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he was great.
Guys like that. But, yeah, overall, the pretentious ones, the ones who act – like, I mean, somebody was given a speech about South Sudan. They were going on about South Tim
talking
Huddleston.
About his beer, his dirty beer that he drinks.
Tim Huddleston, formerly dating
Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Loki.
He's like, I don't want to go into this too much, but the South Sudan, bro. If I want to like watch or listen about South Sudan, I'm not watching the Golden Globes. Like, shut up and entertain me.
This is what it is. They get so famous. They have such big followings. And then they understand how insignificant what they do really is, I think. Like,
no, they think it is significant.
No, no, no. I disagree. I think that they feel like, yo, I'm not doing much. But I should be doing something. I got all these people follow me. They listen to what I say. What do I say? I got to do something good.
No,
And then that's they pick these random topics. Like, I don't know if they believe them, but they.
What are they going to say? I think it's the opposite. I think they actually think they're so important that they think people give a fuck what they
think. I
think
something even different, that it's all it's a PR thing, and it's like, now I'm the guy that's solving cancer or something like that. It's like another way for everyone to think that they're such a good person, that they're doing this, that they really care about this, that they have this depth to their character, that really all they care about is the Sudanese.
Also, though, let's not undercut the influence of Hollywood. Like, say what you want. They are the most influential people in the United States of America.
But Trump won, though.
Yeah, but
they're so influential.
I mean, let's not undercut it.
But they're influential in, like, fashion and stuff. I don't know if they're influential in, like, Tim Huddleston talk about self-soothing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They don't want to – fashion it, at the end of the day means nothing, and they know that. I think some of them know that, and they want to get into something a little bit more meaningful. It's just we don't want to hear it from them.
This may be our biggest disagreement, so you've been here. But can I bring up – this is not good. I know I'm – but my brain's scattered. I took Adderall. I did take Adderall before the show started, so it's – we play Is Dave on Adderall. That's like a segment that we do. The answer is yes here.
The answer is always yes.
No, it's not always. Mondays, though, okay. Club Dave has been like going a little too hard.
Club Dave's noodle.
Pete, you can hear us. We have two producers, Tech Pete and Frankie. And I found this out on Friday. We were talking about Hamilton because Pat McAfee was in here and went to Hamilton. Pete can rap Hamilton. He can
what?
Rap, and he wouldn't do it. And now they're shaking their heads at each other because Frankie told me in the car, he's like, when you guys were talking about Hamilton, Pete can rap every single lyric of Hamilton, and he wouldn't let...
Prickly Pete is an enigma.
Pete, we're trying to make radio. Can you please...
Before come
the
rap.
Show, yeah,
come rap it.
He can rap it right in there. Please rap it. Why won't you rap it? That's great radio.
I don't want to.
That's like...
Jesus.
I mean, we're trying to... Why wouldn't you rap? You can rap it, and you won't give us a taste?
Like, I know most of the words.
Just give us a tiny taste.
Give us one bar.
One bar. Come on.
Oh, man, I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
How does an orphan immigrant, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten... On and on. That's the first. That's how it opens.
Pete, are you one of the, like, those like Cats people that goes and watches the same musical 40 times?
He's never seen Hamilton.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
He's got the mixtape.
No, just has the tape. You've never actually gone, right?
I've never gone because, as Pat said, tickets are $1,000
yeah.
a piece.
$1,000 But, by the way,
you should get a GoFundMe.
I know all the words to – I got the soundtrack.
We have to – if the guy knows
that's like the saddest thing ever.
Play,
I would like to go on – this might be weird, but I would like to go with your mom and dad.
With my mom and
dad.
That
is weird. You are right.
Nothing at all weird about that. Yeah. No,
can
go
I
with
take
that.
Your parents? Isn't this a
and
Seinfeld
sit between
episode?
Them and
yeah, it is. A
yes, yeah.
When
Elaine's,
they go to a Broadway,
Elaine's
is that why
boyfriend is, goes takes out
I
the
think,
Seinfeld.
I think your mom would like to see it, and I find your dad to be fascinating.
So you want to go see Hamilton with my mom and my dad,
and then come on and do a review?
Okay, I think
Prickly Pete,
and then sleep between them. But I mean, nothing weird.
Let's not go there, Jerry.
Are you just trying to get Dave to spring for the ticket?
No, we'll do a GoFundMe.
Just somebody buy me some Hamilton tickets, please. Anybody out there?
Do one more bar, and I guarantee you, we'll do GoFundMe, and you'll get the tickets. We'll do three tickets with my parents and you. I don't know why my parents actually asked when the McAfee thing. You guys think alike. My mom called me dead serious.
Like, that's my point. She wants to go. I want to go.
Okay.
I want to go with somebody who wants to go, not like Pat, who like I think just ended up going.
Well,
I think Pete wants to. I think Pete wants to cuck your dad.
Can you sing it one more time? Just give us that verse again. We'll get the GoFundMe, Pete.
I'm trying. You guys got me on the spot.
Right, like you were singing it to Mr. and Mrs. Portnoy.
Yeah.
How does an orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten something impoverished by Providence, become a hero and a scholar, $10 founding father?
All right.
Oh,
wow.
Roan, you're the world champ battle rap. How was that?
As a battle rapper, I give that an 11 out of 10. That guy can freaking rap. He's got chops. Jay-Z, look out.
Wow.
I actually didn't know that people did that, by the way, that they get the CDs like before you've actually seen. Do they still have CDs? I date myself.
It's for people who can't afford the $1,000 tickets.
Is that good in music?
No,
huh?
And in fairness, this guy – created Hamilton, the guy with the three-word name.
He's universally hated in these
He's the guy we put in the locker.
Yeah. He's come up with this entirely different paradigm for Broadway musicals, like the fact that you can go online and actually watch it.
I'm going to go into that, Jerry. I'm going to dive into my depth of Jerry Thornton knowledge. Your wife is a Broadway, right? Singer,
she does
yes.
a lot of
so
theater.
We got some Broadway cats floating around this office right now that I got to keep my eyes on.
It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job on 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can get jobs posted right on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/port, P-O-R-T, like Portnoy, port. That's ZipRecruiter.com/port. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com right now, ZipRecruiter.com/port.
I don't know what sales guy's doing. He just walked in. Someone's coming in.
Oh, my what God. The fuck?
So Tex just came into the
Get
office.
Get on the mic, buddy. Tex looks like a train wreck
his,
right now.
His mouth is twitching. His face is bloody.
What's going on,
buddy?
You all right?
That's a broken jaw.
He's fight. He's just going to fight for sure.
All right, Tex. Tex,
what's going on?
I'm good.
Tease this.
What am I supposed to say? I just got my ass kicked.
Texas
we're going to fight with somebody.
Back, bloody mess. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk to Tex. He really just got in a fight. He looks like he
looks like Ronda Rousey.
Is your jaw broken? Your jaw's twitching.
He does have a concussion because that's if he threw up. He'd...
Okay, we're back. And right, I got to be honest. I'm a little bit nervous right now. Not nervous, but concerned. So. Towards the end of the last break, a new employee here, Tex, started as an intern, absolute loose cannon, but he walked in.
Second
full-time day. He came in and he asked me earlier in the show, he said, can I box one of the contestants, this Bill's Mafia guy who is here for Barstool Idol Week? Can we box?
He came in with his own waiver. He slapped the waiver down on the desk and said, yeah. I'm signing this waiver. I don't even want to sign a waiver, but I'm boxing this kid.
Yeah.
Who we already wrestled
who
against.
Who you already wrestled and got, like, put in a chokehold. And I didn't want to answer it.
He's
I was
twice the size of Text, too.
Twice the size of him. Big dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Go ask our CEO. Go ask Erica. I don't want to be on the hook for this because I don't know if you should box. So we're doing our show, mind our own business. Text wanders in here. And, I mean, you're busted up. Your eye looks like it needs stitches. Both eyes look like maybe black eyes. Your jaw is quivering like it's broken. To the point I was like...
He threw up. I feel fine.
Which
feel
is
great.
A certified concussion.
I lost the fight.
Clearly.
Pretty pissed about that.
But the jaw and concussions are one thing, but you definitely need stitches. Like, butterfly that bitch up.
Your eye is...
Let's just use super glue.
How long did this fight go? Can we get Kevin in here? He's the one who KFC saw it. He's like, it was wild.
Two rounds.
And he's just unloading on your face?
I got some shots in.
How do you wish you didn't do it?
Never back down.
I'll give you that. You don't back down. Like, you keep fighting this guy's twice your size. He keeps kicking your ass. Like, this is real. People like Barstool's fake. Like, I'm nervous. Kevin just walked in. Here, you want to take my mic? Like, what happened? Go to, by the way, if you want to see, you think we're joking on what this guy looks like, go to Barstool Radio, at Barstool Radio on Twitter, and see the picture of Tex right now. He is absolutely busted up.
He's mangled.
Dude.
He's mangled. I'm not.
Let me tell the story. All right.
So we go downstairs on the second floor of our office, and they're gloved up, and they had, like, fake little hockey helmets on, right? The agreement was 3 30-second rounds. Texas is $160. Buffalo Bills Mafia is $248. $248. Okay. Round one starts. Within three punches, their helmets are off. Bills Mafia's helmet falls off. Tex throws his off. He's like, "Fuck it, fuck it, we're going bare." And these were not talking like Mayweather jabs. These were like rah, 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 full blown haymakers. And I think Tex landed. Not to knock you, man. I don't think you landed a single punch and you just got your face mashed in.
I mean, you're you're mangled right
and
now.
And so the end of round one was like 22 seconds, and we just called it because we were like, we need
okay,
to
I was going
to
say, at then, some point, the adult supervision
I know.
I was like,
okay,
holy,
and then round two, listen, also, by the way, listen, for my sake, I said, have we signed all waivers? Everyone has agreed. Everyone's consented. Round two, about 15 seconds in, Bills Mafia landed a shot on Tex. I called it. I threw the damn towel. I was like, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, he got me on the uppercut.
Did you fall down?
No, and you know what? I'm telling. He lost the fight. He won the video because he's on his feet and he's talking and he's alive. That, I mean, honestly, he's the winner.
Tex, and this is no joke. When we hired you full time, I called him into my office and I said, "You're a great content machine. You'll do anything, and no one's going to tell you coverage." I said, "I have to know if you're insane." Like, that's my only question. I don't want to hire totally insane people here because
it's
insanity.
Too late. Yeah, I think yeah, it's way answer. Too late. Yeah.
Nah, the world is cursed for those with self awareness.
He's also a quote machine.
He just came in and he told Dave, we're like, do you have a concussion? And he said to Dave, like, I'm probably smarter than you right now.
Yeah. He's the most confident guy who can. I mean, you.
I'm not quivering.
No, his jaw's a little bit. I thought for sure you when you walked in, your lip was going bananas. Like, oh, I don't know what a broken jaw looks like.
I haven't had a dip in a couple hours.
That too. This guy,
Bill's Mafia, came over too and was like, "Hey, man, like that was like a good fight." He's like, "Fuck you, pussy."
I don't know. Also, like, and I know waivers matter, but I feel like at some point. Our waivers, there's going to be like, no.
Although,
like,
I mean, your people, waivers they'll sign waivers for anything.
Right.
They'll do whatever.
But I feel like there's a waiver god who is going to be like, your waivers no longer matter.
Right.
Like, you can't hey, well, you can go get eaten by a great white shark. Sign this waiver. We're like, okay, throw him the shark.
To be
he's
clear,
dead,
too,
but he signed the waiver.
Bill's Mafia signed the waiver. Tex was like, I don't need one.
You didn't sign a waiver?
But did you not? Did you say that or not?
I signed the contract thing. So.
Oh, so you did. Okay. Because originally you said you didn't need the waiver.
We can't let you not sign a waiver. You may have to go. I think you need stitches.
I'm pissed, man.
I'll tell you what.
If
there's a death pool for this company, he is number one. Straight
far
to the top.
Far and away.
Straight to the top. And that, and we're talking like Glenn, yeah. Glennie Pauls is 400 pounds. Clem is like out there. I mean, just accidents happen every day. You're going to die for this company tomorrow, and I admire that.
It'll be for a noble cause.
Yeah, because you could be like, hey, go! I
shoot
dare
yourself.
You to jump off the bridge.
He would,
be
duel,
like,
he, would,
done.
He would duel someone. He would duel, he will duel fucking Annie Oakley tomorrow if she comes in here.
But you already got the job. It's not like he's trying out.
Yeah,
he'd be,
you know what,
he'd be bleeding out on the ground being like, got her.
Like, exactly.
Like, you're so slow.
The ultimate irony is all these other people are out here competing for a job. You just got hired full-time yesterday. You just got in. You don't need to do this anymore.
Run them through the gauntlet.
He was doing eye shots last night while all the other kids were trying to get
Yeah. A girl asked that. This morning, like, do you have somebody doing eye shots? I didn't see it. Had to be Tex. Like,
Tex convinced a guy who went to Harvard to do eye shots to put grain alcohol down his eye socket.
Tex, I'm going to say this.
Crazy,
I'm also going to say this. Without knowing the reaction of anything, people listening to the show right now, people are going to watch the video, you're going to become beloved. I mean, how do you not
absolutely.
Like a guy
Dude, I'm telling you,
who steps in the ring and gets his head
got
blown
demolished
up.
In the fight? I'm thinking this might play poorly for Bill's Mafia at this point because he has 80 pounds on the dude. You're going to go down in, like, barstool history. This is going to be, like, folklore. No.
I don't know where we find these guys.
People hated Tex.
They find
Tex
us, man.
Tex was hated, and now Tex is going to it's going to be, like, a beloved thing.
Because you know why?
I don't give a fuck if you hate me.
No, it's the point. Obviously. Your attitude in the beginning, some people think it's, like, if you don't know you, they're like, this can't be real. Like,
I think it's
you
a
can't,
shtick.
Like,
it's
you can't
act.
Be a real person, but as I'm looking at you with two busted-up eyes, a potentially broken jaw, being like, I want to go again with this guy.
But, you know,
you can't not respect it.
The best part about Tex isn't his outright batshittity. It is his loyalness.
Yeah.
It is his loyalty. He will take a beating for any one of us right now.
All right, Tex,
I'm due for a W.
You are due for a W.
No, the biggest. You have the biggest dub coming your way, man. Enormous W on the horizon.
Our newest employee, Tex, who goes to Rutgers, Texas guy, who is flat out bonkers, came in earlier when we started the show. He's like, can I box one of the Barstool Idol guys, one of the guys trying to get a job? He walked in and he looked like he went 15 rounds with Mike Tyson and got knocked out in every single round.
He was sloppy. He was slow. He was quivering. He was, like, snotty. It was – there is – I'm
rattled right now.
His jaw was quivering to the point where Annie puked, which is like an automatic concussion syndrome, people are saying.
I just watched the footage of the fight, and it is insane. It looks like there are zoo footage of two gorillas fighting that you can look up online. It is very similar, just crazy haymakers being thrown.
Does Tex land anything?
He's just throwing, but most of the time, he's just throwing with his head down, walking into a wood chipper. He just like...
Because that other guy's tall and big and strong.
And he is just nailing Tex in the head with every single punch. Tex is throwing wildly, just head down, like, no boxing, like, he's just throwing. And he just wanted it badly, but, oh, man, it's almost hard to watch. But go out and watch that because it's a heck of a video.
And it's not online, I don't think, yet. We'll get that up later today, and then you can check it out on BarstoolSports.com. But the fact that it didn't get knocked down, by the way, I'm going to throw
He did get knocked down. In the first round, he the end of the round, with the dude's, like, standing over his body. Tex is between his two legs.
Like Muhammad Ali.
He was.
Like that Sonny Liston.
Get up.
Yeah, over the Sonny Liston. By the way, it looks like...
You can
like...
go online and see a picture of Tex right now on Barstool Radio. That you can see his...
There's also the video of him walking in here in which he looks absolutely like he could just pass out at any time. It looks like our phone lines are down. That's a control room thing. The Comrex is down.
All that shit they talk in the control room about.
Refresh your page.
Uh-oh. I am refreshing the page. It's still broken. It just says problem loading page. I checked something else to make sure that it wasn't the internet, but I think it's everything. So that's just a little community. Once we get the phone lines back up, we can get in there. Wow, what a turn of events. By the way, my head goes, I just don't know. We live in this world, this company. Like, we're getting bigger. My original thought, but I guess it's not like you have the TV. Like, I'm like, oh, shit, we can't do this. You can't have guys getting knocked out on the second. By the way, the best part of it is, like, where'd they fight? Oh, second floor. Not even our office. It's like just this empty floor that we've turned into a romper room. Some restaurant. We played dodgeball yesterday when Smitty, we thought that was bad. We're like, Smitty, why are you firing dodgeballs at a girl? He's like, oh, I play hard. Then 2 seconds later, we have Tex walking there, knocked out, basically out on his feet when he's still talking to us. And we're all doing this in a space that isn't even ours. Like, on the second floor is empty. When we played dodgeball yesterday, some restaurant complained that they thought like an earthquake was happening because we were on top of them. So just another day in the life of Barstool. Ironically, when I sold half of Barstool to Churn, and everybody's like, Barstool's going to get soft. They're going to change.
Get watered down.
Yeah, watered down. We got a knocked out guy out there on his feet. And what was that quote that he said? The curse?
Self-awareness. Well,
self-awareness is a curse or something like that.
The world is cursed for those with self-awareness.
I think you could say that we operate a little bit in the gray area.
We do. We are sort of international waters, sort of in between the cracks.
That was a Jackass moment, kind of.
A little bit. Except I feel like even Jackass probably has, like, people around to make sure.
Like a medic on hand.
Yeah.
We have, like, a first aid kit that's, like, half used.
How about KFC, Kevin being in here? He's like, no, I stopped the fight. Yeah,
that
when
was the
was
funniest part.
Dead.
The funniest part was, like, I stopped it after 18 seconds. And then in round two.
Yeah. Like, him and Feidelberg down there. Just being like, yeah, no, we were there. Yeah, that's exactly. He did say he stopped at 18 seconds in. It's like, and then in the third round, when he literally
him off the ground,
when his guts were on the ground.
It seemed like he
was
sleeping, so yeah. I called it.
I gave him a 20 count. He didn't respond and lifted his arm WWF style 10 times. And when his pulse was gone, I was like, that's enough. I Herb Dean this thing. I'm like,
I don't want to get anybody in trouble here.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable moment.
Tex should go to the hospital, though.
He has to go to the hospital.
Between all of us.
When just between us and this room, just between us, if you throw up, you have a concussion. That's like the only way you throw
up.
We
need a protocol in office. We need a concussion protocol. Everyone on the sidelines has one.
So this
Wait,
is...
what were you guys talking about? Eye shots. He was taking eye shots. What does that mean?
Like he was
like pouring
alcohol in your eye. A shot of alcohol into his eyeball.
Well, why? Like, what's the benefit?
It's quicker. It's badass. It's one of those things. I mean, you could literally kill Tex so quickly by just being like, do this internet challenge. Eye shots was like a fad. And then it's like a 60-minute thing where people are like dying by doing it. Tex did it. And honestly, we're starting to have our own ward at like that emergency place, the MD emergency place that's fairly close to here. We took Lenny Balls like 2 weeks ago when he cut his finger basically open in a fight with the other interns to get a $100 gift certificate to Outback. We've had Hank Our guy Hank, when he was an intern, chopped his finger off trying to catch a drone out of the air. It's you never know. Like, you never know why somebody on our
end. That's Darwinism, though. You kind of have to weed out. If someone's going to get killed, like, they didn't deserve a job here. If you're not smart enough to stay alive, you didn't earn it.
That self-awareness quote is actually, there's an element of truth to it. Like, what a world to live in if you're just not self-aware.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, you'd never care about anything. Also, who said he puked? They said that so casually.
KFC.
He's like, oh, no, he puked, too.
Oh, that might have been Big Cat.
He just got it all out. He got the concussion
out. I like
out.
How he tried to fight Big Cat at the end, too.
Oh, he did.
He tried to fight Big Cat at the end.
Big Cat, he was mad. Like, mm-hmm. Big Cat, when Big Cat said something
he was
to
like,
him,
why do you keep on fighting people who whip your ass?
Yeah, Big Cat asked, as he was walking out, he's like, can you ask him on the radio, Tex, why do you keep fighting the same guy who keeps whipping your ass? And Tex took offense. He's like, because you won't fight me. Well, that's right. And then he said, that's right, walk away. As Big Cat was already walking away, going back
to his cool hand Luke. He's like, he gets knocked out, but he just takes so much pride in getting back onto his feet and, like, getting knocked out again. Like, getting knocked out for him is a point of pride. Like, losing fights is what he fights for.
I'm legit excited, by the way, to see the video. I'm looking at Pete and the other to just see if we can get the phone lines back up. I don't think so. I think, Pete, we just have no phone lines.
They're up and we're taking calls. I can come in.
All right, hold on. Let me check. I'm going to go on Internet Explorer now because my Firefox wasn't working.
We got a tweet from the Kyle Vitale saying at least the MMA guys will be happy you're talking about fighting.
The MMA guys literally now have nothing to complain about. Like,
they never did that on MMA radio.
I guarantee you this. People weren't just getting the fuck knocked out of them on MMA radio. Like, we have guys absolutely getting knocked the fuck out.
We brought him in on a stretcher to talk on the radio. This guy's like bleeding all over.
We just did concussion protocol talk. We did everything all in one segment.
It's Barstool Radio. Yeah. Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Barstool Radio. What day is today? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I'm fired up. People always, they want fired up Prez. They got fired up Prez today. A lot of things going on. We got a million billion people out in the office. I mean, to the point, if you know how elevators have like weight limits on it, it's like don't exceed this capacity or the thing will, we could just collapse because there's a bazillion people out there. We got virtual reality people. We got people from Fox. We got MVMT watches, like advertisers, our advertiser person. Hey, you want to meet with MVT watches? No, dude. I got like a radio station to do. Like, I got a million things. How about give me a heads up? I got attacked on Boston radio the other day for saying I want Goodell dead. So I did a bunch of interviews with that. I was talking to some guy on 98.5 Sports Hub. I didn't even know who it was. I tried to kick him off the radio like 3 minutes ago. There's a lot of stuff going on. We get on this show, our serious show on Rush 93. By the way, if you want to call, the call-in number is 646-627-8450. And Sirius, God love them, we're on their network. We work for them. But they hand us, like, hey, 3 minutes before this show starts. Literally 3 minutes. Frankie comes in. He's like, hey, there's a new segment we got to do. Not an ad, a segment. And we got, like, this or that presented by an advertiser in which we say leading up to the big game, who do you think's going to win and this and that, a bunch of garbage, to be honest, and we have to take it from the callers. You can't – we're going on the air in 2 minutes. We had pre-meetings. You can't just be like, oh, you're doing this segment. No, no, no. We're not doing that segment.
This or that, do we do the segment or not?
Yeah. How about this? We're not doing the segment. There's a live ad read. Again, I need more than 30 seconds to figure this out. I'm running around. We're running a company. I do more than the Sirius radio show. We got Barstool Idol in there. We got people going everywhere. It's literally chaos. I'm dunking basketballs for some kid. You can't hit me with stuff. Hey, you want to meet MVMT watches 30 seconds before you're about to do your live radio show? No, I do not. Do I want to do this new segment that you haven't even looked at and we have 5 seconds to see what it's about? No, I do not. I have a lot of stuff going on. I got a lot of shit going on today, and I don't have time for this willy-nilly stuff. It's playoff season, Coley. Playoff season.
Damn sure is.
NFL just started for us. I don't have time for people just walking in and be like, hey, do this a minute before. We got jumpsuit January. You guys are both you two clowns, Caleb and Roan, are in Under Armour. How many times do I have to tell you stop wearing Under Armour? They don't
advertise. We just can't wear the whole
it.
Brand? We just can't just cut out wearing Under Armour completely?
They play us like a string instrument. They're just like, let's send these fucking fools some free merch and wear it, and then it'll be all over the place. And we got sales guys. We gotta sell. So we got 9,000 people out here. We got another floor in the office, and we just wear their shit for fucking free. It's infuriating. I am about to ban Under Armour. I hope Under Armour is listening. I hope they get this clip because somebody said, Under Armour, you want us wearing your shit like this? Sponsor us like we're a freaking team, all right? Pay us like we're a team. You guys are so rich. Pay us. We'll wear your shit every day. Until then, stop sending. The only one I respect, Chaps. I yelled at Chaps because that's all they do. They send free stuff. And when we went to Army-Navy game, they sent him all this stuff. He taped over all the logos. He taped over all the Under Armour logos and said, advertise here on it. Well played, Chaps. That's what we got to do. These logos, all right, fine. I don't even know what it says on the front. I thought it was Sports Center, actually. Is that SC?
It's Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Fuck Steph Curry. He got his ass dunked on yesterday. Like he's dead.
Dead.
And you guys are walking in with Steph Curry shit.
Hey,
RIP. You can leave the Steph Curry logo, fine, but cover up the Under Armour. Enough of Under Armour. They've been doing this before you guys worked here. They used to send Feidelberg stuff back in Boston. It's like, enough. Advertise. Don't just give us free shit. So that's on my mind today. That's how we start with shit we talk about. I'm going to drop the ad read. We're not doing that. I'm not going to do the he said, she said game. We'll do that tomorrow. If you give me time to make this show great, all right? Give me time to make it great. We're going to get into the Trump stuff, too. My dad, who's in Florida like an old person, is going to call in. I'm sure Trumpgate he's all about. But that's the stuff on my mind.
Look me, baby, baby. Your hips, your
Dave
smile.
Dave is Trump.
Oh yeah,
Dave is Trump.
Yeah.
Trump is Dave. Dave is Trump.
Same person.
Trump doesn't know so many Ja Rule lyrics.
I think that Dave and Trump know the same amount of Ja Rule lyrics.
We got Riggs in here.
Wait,
I got
before
cut.
We go all to that, Dave. Can we just give this guy a number 4? Can we give him a call right now? We got Steve's father on the line, 15-year-old Steve.
His dad?
His dad.
Talk about disrupting the entire thing. So we have a 15-year-old caller who's one of my favorite callers.
Yes.
We've lost out a little bit because he's in school, and I guess we got his dad on the line. So we'll get back to Trump after this. Steve's dad, is this who's on the line?
Prez, this is Steve's dad. Just calling up because I had to check in on this guy who my 15-year-old wants to emulate and continues to try to get me and my wife to watch these things called rundowns and listen to all the calls he's had with you. You were setting a great example for a very influential 15-year-old, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate the call. We got to get him some sort of – is the reason he's not calling now because he's in school during our show?
Yes, and he has informed me that – he has lunch, jumps on the phone, and never gets picked up in time to go ahead and join. But he tries every day and listens to the call on hold. So
yeah,
you've got a loyalist there.
That's producer Frankie's fault because I've given him direct instructions. When Steve calls, 15-year-old Steve, we know he's like hiding in a locker or at like lunch break that we got to put him to the front of the line. How do permission slips work for this? Like, can you write a note that, I mean, let's say if we do a time, like at 12:25, I need my son to have permission to do a 5-minute call to Barstool Radio on Sirius. We'll put him on instantly. I think the way I understand permission slips working in school is you can, if the parent says it, the kid can do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, deciding between calculus or AP bio and calling up the prez is a tough conversation to have with the school, so I'm not quite sure.
Well,
but he's off Monday. Monday is Martin Luther King Day. I'm sure he'll be in the in the queue ready to speak. And Frankie has been very good to him. I do know Frankie's name, so please be kind to Frankie.
What about
good to him?
Let's just spitball here and get nuts for a minute. What about having him come to New York for a day and co-hosting the show? Monday.
You know what? I'm sure he'd love to do that. I get into New York on business, every other month or so. Would love to be able to schedule that.
Yeah, you'd
be impressed. You'd be impressed. He's no Roan, but you'd be impressed.
Come on, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he is.
No, let's do that. Let's set it up when you're here. We'll do a field trip day and you can sit in with us for 2 hours and be a co-host. I love it.
He would love it. We'll make sure we place a call and we'll connect with Frankie on that.
All right,
the good work.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That'd be an electric co-host. All right, let's get back to this. We just had Riggs, our political correspondent, join us. We were live, so we didn't see all. We watched as much of the Trump press conference. It looked like it started getting a little bit heated as it left. He called BuzzFeed, I know. What do you say? They're failing news.
He called them like a failing pile of garbage. And then he said CNN was fake news, refused to take questions from the reporter. And then he just like 2 seconds ago literally ended his press conference with something to the effect of, I trust a lot of news, but if you don't treat me the right way, you're fired, and then walked off.
He hit it, you're fired?
He literally ended his presser with, you're fired.
He said, you're fired?
Yeah, oh yeah, swear to God.
All right.
Just like his show.
We're going to go full roundtable because while Riggs is the political correspondent here at Barstool, my dad is probably the number one Trump hater in the universe. He has wished, this may be a Portnoy trait, how I've wished, like, Goodell to be dead. I believe my dad has wished basically the equivalent on Trump's son, Barron, who he has said he wants nothing but bad.
10-year-old?
Yeah, nothing but bad
things. Innocent child?
Yeah, nothing but bad things for the entire life. So what do we call this thing? P-gate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything stuck. I like P-E-E Otis has been pretty funny. Hashtag P-Otis.
P-Otis. All right. Dad, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready to rock and roll. I've been pacing the floor like a cage tiger. I'm going to give myself a grade right now, A+. I'm ready to go. I want to go with my son, and I'm going to start right now. I want some airtime. I don't want to be interrupted, okay?
Right.
You guys can relax. Number one, Dave, I don't want – the one thing you did has got nothing to do with Trump. Don't use Nazi comparisons, all right? I think that crosses the line. That's all I want to say about that. That's up to you. Riggs, I think you're doing a great job.
Wait.
Thank you very much.
Wait, hold on. You're saying I don't do that with – you don't want me to do the Nazi comparisons with Goodell, you mean?
With anybody.
Okay,
right?
But Trump compared BuzzFeed right to the Nazis today.
Yeah, he was just saying
it
there.
But that's Trump. That's not me. I didn't say you.
I didn't say you. All right, go ahead.
Stop interrupting. All right. I want to talk about this P-gate or whatever you're talking about. I really don't know if it's true or not. It's probably not. But you can't look at this in a vacuum, okay? You got a guy who, unfortunately for all of us, is going to be president of the United States if he makes it to the inauguration before they throw him out. If you look at that video, and there's no debating the video, although he came up with a million excuses, and you ask yourself, could that guy also be doing what he's being accused of here? It's not probably likely, but I certainly, if we were talking about Obama, George Bush, either of the Bushes, anybody but Clinton, who I also think could be guilty of this, you would say it's impossible. But with a guy like Trump and his past history, it's certainly, even if it's a 5% chance, it's not a zero chance. Which is Trump's specialty, to attack his attackers, and to think that's at a level that the president of the United States should be at is insane. He's calling the Senate minority leader. He's calling him a clown. Can you picture any other president using that term with to describe someone on the other side of the spectrum? Now, Dave, I'm not looking for an answer from you now, Dave.
Am I allowed? Are you going to let me know when I'm allowed to talk?
Not yet. We got a little ways to go. And to say that this is what you like, you want to see people being real, you have to have some kind of dignity if you're going to be president of the United States. Now, if you look at the list of the things that Trump has done during this election process, it's insanity. If I told you, and we didn't before this nonsense all started, that one of the candidates was going to do some of the things that he has done, you would say, in no way can this person ever be elected. I think, unfortunately, what's happened here is that there's a lot of people who expect to get tax breaks. The wealthy, like David Portnoy, he's going to get a tax break. And there are other people who are not working, have very
Our producer Pete is saying you're just rambling now and being boring.
Ooh. I don't care. Let me keep going. Well,
I mean, you got to go somewhere. I don't. You're just going on this long rant. You hate Trump. I get it. But what's your point? The tax breaks. Like, what are you even talking about? This is one issue that's probably totally fake. And by the way, the point that I don't understand what you're talking about is when certain presidents, like, you could never understand them doing. You know, who cares even if he got peed on or the pee? What does this have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with that.
What you do behind closed doors, and by the way, here's another question that I've had about this entire thing. If you said 5 years ago that Trump was going to be president, people would have looked at you like you had a million heads. If you said 10 minutes ago that Trump basically was going to be president, people would be like, you're insane. When this started, you thought it was a joke. I was one of the few who understands how people think and why people like Trump, like myself, and you have your head in the sand and live in your world where you only see things one way, but I see all the different ways, and here's my point. If why was Russia creating a file on Trump 5 years ago? For what, dude? Is there a file on me? Are they keeping files on everybody? Who would have thought this guy would ever be president? And you have this blackmail. It's garbage. If this happened the other way, Dad, you'd be the other way. You just see it. You're like all these shows that you watch that I hate. You just see it one way. Whatever comes through, you'll skew it anti-Trump. That's how you always are.
You're about to say to me, what difference does it make what somebody does behind closed doors?
Yeah, I did say that. I wasn't about to say it. I said it.
That when we talk about the president of the United States, he is not only the political leader of the country, he is the moral leader.
But it's behind closed doors, and it's not even true. Clinton did it. If you think that other presidents, like the Kennedys, for example, weren't doing stuff, it's internet, it's different time. You're just crazy. You live in this false, fake world. We've had the same politicians forever doing nothing with no change. Trump comes in. He's going to change. He's going to shake it up. Two Portnoys can't talk at once. It's coming in. He's going to shake it up. It's about time that we get change. He's changing it. You just want the same old, same old. You watch your boring political shows, and that's it. And I hate to do it. I'm hanging up on you.
He just hung up on his dad?
That was father-son battle to the max right there.
And I was told it was too boring. He's getting too deep into politics. But it's crazy. My dad, to make that argument, all right, to make that argument that, like, what he does behind closed doors, he's got some fetish because he's president, he can't do that. What are you talking about? I don't know if this is normal radio, but I have thing. Mike Portnoy wants back on. All right, Dad, you're back.
All right, don't hang up on me again.
Well, you were just dragging on like sometimes you tend to do.
I want to ask you a question. Other than being the PE instead of the POR, is there anything that Trump could do on a moral level that you would say crosses the line? Are you saying that as long as nobody knows about it, as long as it's behind closed doors, anything goes?
Yes, anything goes behind closed doors.
All right. And what is the role of a president of the United States morally when he's the leader of the free world? Does he have any moral bounds?
Yeah, I mean, like, to quote Johnny Damon, you can't commit murder.
So now, and the other thing, now we're going to talk about the President of the United States and compare him to R. Kelly.
Here's my issue, which I said before, not to, and this, again, your grade is definitely not an A.
Well, I'm taking that, but go on.
If someone taped him without his knowledge or something like that, are you saying you really think other presidents were somehow morally superior with their activities behind closed doors? You're not that naive, are you?
What I said was that if you look at this guy's background and some of the things that aren't disputed in that regard, if there was ever anybody, and I prefaced what I said by saying it's probably not true, but if it was anybody but Trump and probably Bill Clinton, you would say this story is out of the gate, not believable. But because this guy has set himself up in a certain way based on his conduct, you say to yourself, this could be true. It may not be, but it could be.
Okay, but who cares if it's true, and who cares if it's what you do in the job? I don't need this moral, like, compass thing that you have.
We don't think Kennedy was?
That's what I said earlier. You all these politicians are scumbags. When are you going to learn that? Oh, I hung up on him that time by accident. Let's see what Brad from Charlotte has to say about it. Brad, what's up?
Hey, Dave. Big fan.
We didn't even know your name was Brad.
And fake voice guy, for those that are new to Barstool Radio, this guy Brad, we know he has a fake voice. He's been a caller that called.
Fake, man.
Yeah, it is fake, though. It's totally fake. We've had this dispute almost every time you called. I started to let it slide, but I just want all the new listeners on Sirius Rush 93 to know I know that you have a fake voice. That's it. What do you got?
Well, I appreciate you saying to everybody it's fake, but I'm telling you, man, it's not fake. And I just want to say, first of all, I think the new show is going great.
Thank you.
Caleb Roan. Doing a great job as always.
Thank you.
Thoughts and prayers to Tex. Man, his face is all bloodied up, man. I'll tell you something.
You guys agree it's a fake voice, right?
It ain't fake, man. It's my voice.
Where'd you go to grade school, man?
I went in by Mecklenburg. I grew up North Carolina by Charlotte in Mecklenburg High. And,
grade school,
which
man.
One? Which one? South or North? Or West?
No, South.
South Mech. That's a real school. We played them in football.
So, my question for Dave is, a couple of years ago, you've had multiple videos with food eating challenges. You've had Kit Kat eating challenges, watermelon. I think those videos are amazing, man. You should do some more. Maybe get Clem involved. Have a good day, Dave.
All right, that was fake voice guy. I will say, I don't know how he doesn't break at all. That's the only, like, I'm not an actor. It's a fake voice.
But, this guy's a veteran prank caller.
But yeah, the fact that he says all sorts of words and it's always the same. He's a great fake voice caller.
Even when I'm screening the calls, he's on point.
Yeah, so.
Mecklenburg High School.
South Mecklenburg.
That's what grade school.
Yeah, we will. The eating challenges have always been interesting. Zach, what do you got? Good luck following up fake voice guy.
We got a break right now, and then we're going to come back right after that.
You're like the new break guy.
I'm Johnny Break Guy. We got Frankie sleeping in there.
Roan just announced the break.
Sirius XM app.
All right, we're back. Interesting little conversation that happened at the break between Roan and Frankie. Roan, I thought maybe there was some pre-conversation, but Frankie came in, gave you a little lecture. He doesn't like you being the break guy.
I'm trying to like be prepared and stay on top of things. He said, I'm stepping on his toes.
Yeah, well, like I think that's on you. When did you decide, like, we've been doing the show. How long have we been doing the show?
Like our seventh show.
And all of a sudden, you've become, like,
I've been doing this every day.
You've been the break guy every day?
When we get to a break, and, like, if you're over-talking, I don't know if you ever noticed, I'll tap my wrist at you. I don't think you have noticed that one.
I haven't noticed that.
And, or I'll be like,
have you guys noticed him being break guy?
It's about to be break. I'll say, we're up against the break.
Frankie. I think one of my favorite things about the show is the Frankie breaks.
Yeah, I like Frank. Like,
all right, I was just trying to be on top
Frankie,
of it and be more prepared and be a team player. But I will stop preparing and I will be less of a team player if that's what the team wants.
So Frankie,
interesting point.
What's going on? Why is it causing problems with Roan just deciding he's going to be the new break guy?
I don't know. I'm just pissed off. This guy comes in today. That's my thing. I say when we go to break, I control the breaks.
Frankie's whiffed on like six songs today so far. Oh, I'm just trying to right the ship a little bit.
Where's the juice at, Frankie?
Today, the juice meter, I'm going to do it with percentage. I'm at like 80% juice today.
All right. Let's get back to the phone lines. You got some callers on the phone. Wrap this show up. Is this now? Now I'm confused. Is this the last segment of the show, Frankie?
Yep. See, Roan fucked the whole thing up.
All right.
Won't be prepared again.
Last segment going into report cards. You got 6 minutes.
Pat, what do you got?
Hey, Pat from Boston. Go, Prez, go.
We got a marry, fuck, kill for you. We got Goodell, Hitler, and Marbles.
All right, so marry, fuck, kill, Goodell, Marbles, Jenna Marbles, who was a former employee, now the most famous person on YouTube, and Hitler?
That's it.
Got to murder Hitler. Hitler murdered my people, so I'm going to murder his ass back, which then puts me, I'm going to fuck Marbles, I guess, because
you're marrying Goodell?
She's a girl.
Wow, so you're saying that Hitler
I'm gonna
is
tell you why.
Better than... Is worse than Goodell?
Yes.
Hot take.
And also, what I can do is I can make somebody's life miserable. Like, if you're with me day in and day out, I won't have to murder Goodell. Goodell will murder
kill him
himself.
Slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
a thousand deaths.
Colin, what do you got?
Hey, Dave. I was going to pitch a couple ideas to make you wealthy, but I have a question I want to ask prior.
Okay.
Whenever I'm home alone, I decide to pee while sitting down, or if it's late at night, so I don't have to touch the seat, turn on the light, that type of thing. Is that a weird move?
I mean,
he's just lazy.
Yeah, lazy. I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, if I'm fucking exhausted, I generally stand because you get back to wherever you're going quicker, but I'm not going to judge you for that. No.
I pee with the seat down, and I live with girls and share a bathroom with girls.
You just piss on the seat?
But you clean it, right?
Yeah. It's just a habit. It's a weird habit, but just
yeah,
a habit.
I occasionally will go seat down. It's just like, fuck
I did
it.
The math, though. It's,
but I do clean it.
You're spending more time ripping off a sheet of toilet paper and then wiping around than you would to just flip the switch up, flip the switch down.
I know. It's a weird habit. I don't know why I do it.
I have a question about piss on a toilet seat. If you go into a bathroom and you see there's already piss on the toilet seat and you go and pee, do you feel you're obligated to clean the toilet seat now because when you leave, people are going to think it was you?
No.
Yesterday there was some.
You just leave it.
Yeah, yesterday I was coming out of the bathroom here at Barstool, and there was some. I don't know who it was, but you know how we always got these dudes with, like, the big suits on. They're like some type of big dick guys. Some dude walks out, and I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And then I walked in, and he annihilated the bath. He was like the guy who just peed everywhere at that.
The monster shit.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this: our bathrooms, I think, are like super smell resistant. Like, every time I go in there, it smells fresh. It's
no, but
bizarre.
We have a spray that you're supposed to be using.
Oh, no,
using
you
if you're
use
blowing
the spray,
it up.
But still, if you fucking doesn't matter. Sprays aren't superhuman.
I think they are, though. That spray is, like, all masking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have not walked into that bathroom yet and been like, oh, someone just
all
fucking
the
dropped
heat. Happening on the second floor.
The bad stuff is happening a floor down, he's saying.
Interesting. 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 Charlie, what do you got?
Hey, guys. First things first, Roan, shout out. Whenever I show people rap battles on YouTube, my go-to is your battle versus 360. I think it's just super simple, and my friends tend to dig it.
Cool.
Secondary, question for Caleb. You think Mitch Trubisky has legit pro potential, or do you think it's just kind of a weak quarterback market, and you think that's why his name's being floated around?
I mean, so you're asking what Caleb thinks of his best friend.
No, I think it's a weak quarterback market.
Do you like your friend?
I think it's, I think it's a weak quarterback market compared to other years, and that's why he's such like clear-cut number one. I think best case scenario for him, he gets to sit for like a year or two and learn how to be in a pro style offense. I think if he had been in a pro style offense already in college, he would be able to come in and make a difference. But dude, I mean, it's a completely, if anyone knows anything about pro style versus what they're doing in college right now, they're just not even in the same game. But he has every ability to be good.
These last two calls look like they stink. I'm going to go. All right, Patrick, what do you got? Make it quick.
Got Country Portnoy.
I like that.
All right. Have you two questions real quick? Have you ever asked Martin Shkreli to come on the show, get an interview with him?
Well, we've talked to him, but not on this show.
He should guest host for like a week with us.
Shkreli, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, he's really accessible.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, and then two, what quarter do you think Belichick's going to put in Jimmy Garoppolo, first or second?
He'll be in early third, probably. Although we like beating teams. I don't know, because the Texans owner, McNair, bashed us during Deflategate, and we never forget. I never forget, so we may hang a hundo on him. Shkreli, the problem with Shkreli, though, he is accessible, but he's banned from Twitter right now, so he's not nearly as accessible. We don't know how to get in contact with him.
BK has his number.
No, I don't think he does.
Oh, really?
He said he did stuff with Twitter, and he's kicked off. Last caller of the day, Connor, what do you got?
Hey, Dave, go Prez, go. Roan, go. Go prep. I'm a Hawks guy.
All right.
Dave,
thanks,
quick
bro.
Questions about Scooter Club at Virginia Tech video you did a couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, the club has about tripled. There's 15 or 20 guys in it. Wondering if you'd ever want to come down and maybe do a reunion video with us. We'd love to have it.
Are you at VTech right now? You're a Virginia Tech guy?
Yes, I am. I actually own one of the scooters that was in the video.
Do you guys still have my scooter? I donated it.
Yeah. Yeah, our landlord's trying to get us to get rid of it because it's taking up space in the parking lot, but we told him we won't get rid of it.
Yeah, fuck that. That's an icon. Yeah, send me an email. I go re-scoot. That was a fun video. Went down to Virginia Tech. I don't even know why I did it. They're like, hey, we have a scooter club. You want to come ride with us? Went to Virginia Tech, threw on some leather, and just rode. It was great. We left little notes on the entire city, like, hey, if you have a scooter, we have a big ride coming up. We had strangers. We had no idea who they were. They just showed up. We just rode around the city.
Are we
going
to do grades, or am I out of my...
No, do grade.
I'm going to give this one a... I'll give it another solid B.
It got slow at the end. Coley, what do you got?
B plus.
B minus, slow at the end.
Yeah, B minus. I'm going to give it B minus. We started really hot, and then it's calls. 2 hours is a lot of time. We're learning. What do we got in the control room, Frankie and Pete?
B minus for me.
B plus, I liked it.
Okay. All right, that's the show. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Barstool Radio on Sirius XM Rush 93.
The best in paranormal talk radio goes beyond the darkness, challenging everything you think you know about the paranormal. Check out new episodes of Beyond the Darkness every Monday on the Jericho Network, on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes or podcastone.com.